In Parakei Mishnah, we were listing the miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. I believe we're up to the paragraph, Vihinei Tainis Reif HaOlam. Now, these two paragraphs deal with two aspects of parnasa, of the of a person earning his livelihood. First, Vihinei Tainis Reif HaOlam. He's going on the miracle, the Beis HaMikdash, that the rain did not extinguish the fire which was on the Mizbeach. He says, "V'hinei taina Yisrael ha'olam bismaneinu, she'enem yechelam lasik b'toyra machmas hadayga v'tirdas haparnasa." The complaint that most people have is they can't concentrate on their learning, or they don't have time for their learning, because they're busy worried about parnasa. L'zomar shu'toz gomor, rak shi'a b'tuach b'Hashem, v'yochel lasik b'toyra. Okay, it's a separate, but it's not a separate paragraph.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Okay,
it's about halfway down in the paragraph. Zeh Amar Shutoz Gomer, Rak Shia Batua Hashem, Yeh Yachal Laasik Betayrev, Zeh Shamer Shloi Kovu Agishamim. Ki Agishamim Roimez LeParnasa, the Gishamim are Remes to Parnasa, Shali Yelacham Izeh Hasasholom, Shum Bittel Vikiboy Laasik Betayrev, Shinikra Eish. We know rain is a remes to Parnasa. The Gemara says that there are three keys that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give in the hand of a human being. The keys to the key to life, the key to childbirth, and the key to rain. So that even today, with all the modern science, nobody can predict how long a person will live. Some people live longer, people live shorter. A person can hurt himself, harm himself, but beyond that, how long a person will live, or when a woman will give birth, plenty of times that the doctor said, oh, it's going to take you a few more weeks, and then on the way home, gave birth, or the reverse. And also the rain, the weather, nobody can do anything about the weather. You know, everyone talks about it, but nobody does anything about it, as they say. Now, so the rain is a remes to Parnasa. The Gemara says that. The Gemara says Parnasa is totally unpredictable. And also, rain stands for parnasa. Eish here is the marshal for Eish HaTaira. So the rain did not extinguish the fire, which means to say, even a person's Isaac and parnasa, he should be able to sit and learn. It's the daigus haparnasa that he's talking about, the fact that people worry about it, and it distracts them from the learning at the time they should be learning. The pillar of smoke that rose from the Mizbeach was not disturbed by wind. If a person will be solid like a pillar and have a set time to learn, the Yetzirah will not be able to scatter him. It's called the spirit of Tuma. So the first point he's making about parnasa is that parnasa should not be an excuse to be distracted from learning, that a person can do both, that there can be rain, and it won't extinguish the fire. He said earlier in his introduction that God could have just made it not rain on the Mizbeach, but deliberately it rained on the Mizbeach and it didn't extinguish the fire to show that the person should be able to do the two together. That's lesson number one. The second lesson, V'laydibtza psul v'aymer, also refers to parnasa. Remez, shegam im yasek b'parnasa, shugam kedech sheves l'mitzvah. K'may berchazal, ala pasik, oisit stoka b'cholei, zehazon, banuv v'b'naisim, shem ketanim. It says, who's considered someone that does stoka all the time? Someone who supports his children, k'shem ketanim, even when they're ketanim, certainly when they're gedayim. So it's tzedakah. Well, certainly it's tzedakah. Well, to help any godless, it's tzedakah. If he's even young children in your house, you would think it's not tzedakah to support your young children. The Gemara says you're only technically obligated to support your children until they're 6 years old. So after that, it's tzedakah. You don't take it off Maaser money, but it's a chesed. At any rate, that's not his point. His point is that parnasa is a mitzvah. Akapay yizayir sheim asayu masdei be'emuna hashleim sechas hashalom shum shem etz pasal. there was no psul in the Aymer and the Lechem Panim. All the breads, bread is a symbol for Parnasa, And all the types of bread they brought, they never found the psul in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a remez that someone who's Isaac and Parnasa should be careful that there be no psul. It is in Yad HaYah Parnasa. One of my favorite pieces of the Ben Ish Chai is in the Ben Yehuda on Erevin. I saw this when I went to Erevin. It was about 25 years ago in Kaibel. They just had reprinted the Ben Yehuda. It was out of print for a very long time. I still have that first one, which didn't have brachas in it. They only had certain mesechtes. So there, he goes to the Gemara. The Gemara in Erevin on Daf Yud Ches refers to the Nayach and the Teva who sent out the Yaina, and the Kayana came back with a leaf from an olive tree. And he said, my lepar parnasa be bitter like a zayas, and I shouldn't have to come on to you. So there he talks about parnasa. And he brings there that someone came to Chacham Echad. When you read it, it sounds like they came to him. You know, he just, in his humility, writes, they came to a Chacham. And someone came and he complained. He said, my brother and I both grew up in the same family. And my brother is in the diamond or gold business. He works 2 or 3 hours a day, and he makes such and such amount of money. He lives comfortably. He says, me, I'm a blacksmith. I work with metal. I work at a hot furnace for many, many more hours a day, and it's sweaty work. And at the end of the day, I make less than my brother, who's successful in the diamond business. So he said, I don't understand. If it's because of Schus Avais, because of Schus of our ancestors, we have the same exact ancestors. If it's because of our own schusim, he says, take it from me, I have more schusim than him. You know, he doesn't have more schusim than me. So I don't understand the God's world. So he writes that the Chacham Echad responded to him, you see what a person earns in this world. And God sees what a person earns in the other world. He explained to him that working for Parnassah is is something which brings a person schar. There are many mitzvahs in the Torah that have to do with work. There are many mitzvahs. You have to be careful for Leitignai, the Leisigzail, the Leisashayk, and paying your bills on time, and paying your workers on time. There are many, many mitzvahs that have to do with it. And therefore he told him that, you always see for mitzvah all day. So you only see the schar down here. You don't see that the schar that is there upstairs. Funny thing to tell a man who's just retired.
He talks about the shviras, the shviras.
Could be, I don't remember that, but okay.
He did a Kabbalah stuff, yeah.
Okay. So at any rate, that's what he writes, and that's what he's saying here. He's saying is that he's going out of person as Isaac and Parnasa, that he should make sure there's no shemet shel psul. When a person works, it should be done properly. These things are set up for Parnasa. Bring for me the Aymer so that the Tvua of the Sada should be blessed. And certainly the bread on the Shulchan. That the lechem aparim by the shulchan brought blessing to Klal Yisrael. And all brachis come from heaven. All blessing came to the shulchan of the Beis Hamikdash. And that's the expression that you get what you get from God's table, so to speak, from the shulchan of the Beis Hamikdash. So here he's saying this idea that the bracha came to Klal Yisrael through the lechem aparim, so that the lechem aparim in the shulchan is a remez to parnasa, and in that parnasa, leidim tzabay psul, it should be something that's done in a kosher way. All money should be kosher money. Right, so he's telling him that you can't see. You're asking questions. If you can't see, he's not guaranteeing him. It may well be. He's just saying that you can't see. That's just saying. Shabbos. Shabbos is the Makar. So there's a Ramban, it's an important Ramban, I guess it was in Parashas Truma recently. He talks about this idea of the blessing coming from the Lechem Haponim. And he talks about it in what he calls the Derech Said. Every once in a while the Ramban says, I'm going to tell you a secret. And then he says words that are hard to figure out. Always brief. Some side Kabbalistic idea, and it's always brief and hard to understand. Here, Rav Hutner, the Pachad Yitzchak, explains it. And he says the following. He says that in Gan Eden, before man was driven from Gan Eden, the bracha of Gan Eden was a bracha of Shefa. The bracha of Shefa is that a small amount spreads and becomes much. The example that he gives is a seed. A seed is a ma'an of the blessing of Gan Eden. What's a seed? You can hold it in your finger. It's a little tasteless, odorless, bit of nothing. And yet in it, when you put it in the ground, comes up a whole tree, a tree full of peiros. The blessing of a seed is the blessing that we call shefa. A shefa means a flow. From something comes much. From nothing, you don't get anything. Because the idea of yesh me'ayin, creating something from nothing, doesn't exist in this world. But the shefa, the idea that from a little can come a lot, which is symbolized by the seed, and that's why Gan Eden is called Gan, the place of seeds, the place of planting. Gan Eden was a place that from a little came forth a lot of blessing. That idea of bracha is still a bracha that comes from Shemayim, and that bracha comes on something, and from that something sort of has the ability to spread. He says that Israel's called the land Eretz Zavas Cholav Udvash, the land that flows with milk and honey. He says people have a misunderstanding. They think the blessing is milk and the blessing is honey. There are plenty of countries that have milk, plenty of countries that have honey. And it's Israel special because it's an Eretz Zavas. It's an Eretz that flows. When a blessing comes, it has the ability to flow, the ability to have a flowing blessing, that's what we strive for. Something that, from a little can come a lot. That's what we hope for in the brachas of Olam Hazeh. That is symbolized by the Lech HaPanim. The Lech HaPanim is the little, which when it's treated b'kedusha, it's put in the Beis HaMikdash, a place that's a man of Gan Eden, then it has the ability to give forth, all kinds of bracha. We know when we bench, we leave the crumbs on the table. You don't clean off all the bread from the table before benching, except downstairs by Suda Shlishis, where we have no choice. But I usually leave it on my table. At least there should be some bread on the table. It says, when you bench, leave some bread on the table, so the bracha should have a place to be chal. The blessing should have a place to fall. And I don't understand, like the blessing falls on it, in 2 seconds we're wrapping it up and putting it in the garbage can. But it's a symbolic thing. It's an idea that bracha is chal on something. And it's like the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, open for me a Pesach Shel Machat, and I'll open for you a Pesach Shel Ulam. Give it a start, give it a beginning. And from a little, there's an ability to come a lot of blessing. So that's his idea of this that is being referred to here, that the Lechem HaPonim on the Shulchan is a symbol of the blessing. It says each Kayan got a tiny piece, the size of a bean, and he was satisfied. And from that little amount, he was satisfied. That was considered something good. Nowadays, we live in a backward society. Nowadays, if you eat and you're full, you're upset. If you want to eat a little and be full, you don't have room to eat more. Like everybody likes to not be full, so you could just eat and eat and eat. People say, oh yeah, I'm full. But humanity wasn't that way. People strive to be full. It was considered a blessing to be Eichel Kimba, to eat a little amount and be satisfied. It was considered to be a good thing. So that's the idea that he's mentioning here, that the Lechem HaPanim is that mashuhu for Parnasa. So the miracle that there was no psul is a remez to a working person that there should be no psul in his Parnasa. So there are two messages. The first message was that the worrying about Parnasa that disturbs a person's learning is uncalled for. It's uncalled for. It's Chesaron and Bitachon. And the second lesson, to keep the Parnasa honest. It really goes together. Because people who are all fadaiged, all worried, about their parnasa and feel that if they don't do it, you know, God can't do it without them. So they're the ones that end up being dishonest in their business. If you feel it comes from God anyway, so, it's, there's less of a, yetzahara to be dishonest in your business deal. Okay, next miracle. I did svufim shtachim revachim. The Beis HaMikdash, they stood squashed and they bowed revachim. They bowed when there was, when they bowed, there was plenty of room. Remez al derech mashal. So he says different than the way we normally translate it, that even though it was tight, when they bowed, they were straight. He says, Remez al derech mashal, shabizman shayo oimde bekoimis kufa, v'gayda leivav, hayut svufim. At the time that they stood, in Gaiva, the person stands haughtily, he's really bent, he's really tight. When you bow before God, then you become Balharvacha, then you're somebody who has space. It's an interesting letter in the Chassam Sefer. The letter is about something else, but he writes, the person writes to him, that in Eretz Yisrael, this miracle of Ibn Ravachim, he writes, this is the Chassam Sefer in about 1800, that when the Jews come together on the Shalish Regalim nowadays, Jews come together in the Old City, that they see in the end of the miracle. The Old City is such tight quarters, and people come, and they somehow all fit. So he writes in a sub-cipher that the miracle still exists today. You know the sub-cipher's response, you remember? He says that, maybe you shouldn't say it, but I saw it by my Rebbe. Rebbe Nassen Adler, he had this little shtiebel, a tiny little room, and people piled in one after the other on Yom Tov, and there's plenty of room. It was, you know, like, I'm the Tzfufa, Mishtach Meravachim, somehow. And there was always room for someone else. The study, they commissioned the study in 47, how much of a population the land of Israel can support. They said 600,000, not more. And that was part of their idea of limiting. So today, thank God, you have 10 times that amount and more. And, Baruch Hashem, there's no, I once read that, when God created the world, He created Eretz Yisrael. The Malachim looked down and they say, God, You gave such beautiful mountains to Eretz Yisrael. He said, yeah. You gave such luscious fruits. He said, yeah. You gave such the hot baths to Eretz Yisrael, yeah. And he said, you gave them, the mountains, and they go, line, amazing, yeah. He says, you give them so much to one little piece of land, you give so much. So God replied, just wait till you see the neighbors I'm going to give them. V'lo hizik nachash. A snake and a scorpion, the Mishnah said, that was one of the miracles, that there were no snake and scorpion bites in Yerushalayim Eilam. So he says, Kamaymer Chazal, Ein hanachash meimis ela achet meimis. The snake doesn't kill, it's the sin that kills. Yerushalayim leilon adam v'chete imai. And Yerushalayim, in the time that the Beis HaMikdash stood, was a place of amazing tshuva. A person who came there was inspired. He didn't go to sleep at night without doing tshuva for his sins. K'maymer Chazal. Lailon adam Yerushalayim v'aver b'yaday. Tamid shal shachar mechaper. The tamid was a source of kapara, and of course it came with the inspiration that it brought people. Chen gamata. M'yayisim v'tzayin shal makayim. Somebody does mitzvahs properly, then the mazikim are not able to harm the person. Well, this is as long as the people are behaving properly. The people misbehave, then this stuff happens. A person is worried that, I have a store, and my friend has a store also. I'll have less parnasa. Ein adam negev muchan lachaveira yafilu kamal einima. Zesherem is layadam adam lachaveira itzarli. So nobody said tzarli hamakim, that there's not enough space for both of us. There's enough for me and there's enough for you. My father, Olav Shalom, was a mitzuyan in this. He used to call his competition, the other bakeries, he used to call them my helpers. He said, I can provide cake for everybody in Brooklyn. So I have helpers. There are other bakeries that provide the cake too. And one year, Weiss's bakery had a fire. And my father called and offered them. They had a 10-hour overnight shift at Weiss's bakery. They produced there until they were able to get their place back going. That was very much my father's mitzvah in that old Shalom.